Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do.
Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello and welcome to Thanks for Visiting. I am one of your hosts, Sarah Karakayan.
And I'm Annette Grant. And together we are
Thanks for visiting. We have to do that. You know we do.
And we're back. We have another episode we're super pumped about. We have someone in the studio, aka Sarah's office, with us today. Sarah, you want to give some background on our guest?
Yeah. So you know that myself and Annette are completely obsessed with all things Airbnb, short-term rentals, and we were missing something here in Columbus. We were missing a meetup in person. There's a few Facebook groups, and that was great and all, but I love being with my peeps. So we started a meetup, and we heard the story of the businessman who is here today, BJ Allman, who is starting a business that was inspired by this new short-term rental industry, but he's kind of taking his own take on it and solving a need that is out there that actually randomly I've been met with when it came to my RV. So let me just tell you a real quick story, and then we're going to bring BJ in. But we were contacted via, I think it was Outdoorsy, and someone needed our RV for a long period of time. And I had no idea how much we could charge for like 2, 3, 4 months. So I actually called a local RV place and I was like, hey, if I wanted to rent an RV for 3 months, how much would you charge? And like the number was astronomical. So I was like, okay, it'd be great to get that much, but let's meet her halfway because she had suffered a fire. So she was in a fire. Her animals died. It was very, very sad. She had 3 sons. And so we knew that our RV was just too small for her needs when it came down to it. But it was win-win for the insurance company because it was much less than the RV centers were going to charge because she wanted to have an RV on her lot. She wanted to stay on her property
while it was being repaired.
So correct.
She could check on it.
Okay. Yes.
And probably like school districts.
I mean,
et cetera,
I think just
friends,
being still at home in some capacity.
Yeah, I was wondering why she wanted to stay in an RV.
It didn't work out with us. It was interesting when BJ and I connected because I was like, actually, I feel like I've already kind of seen this happening in my own little tiny short-term rental industry world. And so I'm really excited to share with all of you listeners how he is meeting this need head on, not just with RVs, but also with short-term rentals. So BJ, welcome to our show.
Good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. We are pumped. You got a really good story.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we want you to share with our listeners how you got inspired to start this business and then go into what the business is.
Sure. Well, back in 2004, my wife and I, Sarah, also with an H.
it's a good way to spell it.
Yeah, it's great. She is a princess. We bought our first property about 15 years ago. So, and ended up selling. We bought that at the dip and sold it like at the peak. I mean, it was a great deal. You know, 2018, peak of real estate. So flipping was a good opportunity for that property. And after I sold it, she expressed interest in doing, you know, another property together. And I was like, awesome. You know, this is great. She had me at hello. I was ready to go. And so we found a a cute little house right downtown in Delaware, Ohio, and used that money to put down on this house, and about 1,500 square feet, three bedrooms upstairs, first floor master, walking distance to the lovely downtown, just perfect.
Yeah.
You know, old brick home, you know, late 1800s, early 1900 home. Exactly what we wanted for our city, because there's not a lot of places to stay.
Yeah.
And really hotels are either, you know, Polaris. There's a small one down on 23 south of Delaware, but it's not, you know, in town, you know. So
for our listeners, just to give them geographically, Delaware is about, can I say 30 minutes north of Columbus,
that's
Ohio?
That's correct.
Okay. Like downtown Columbus,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Like downtown Columbus, Ohio. So, yep. And it's more of a rural, I guess, town. Is that fair to say? Not really rural.
It's a small little college town.
It's a college town. Okay.
Lots
yeah.
of coffee
you've got a
shops,
cute downtown. Yeah.
Awesome restaurants. You know,
it's quaint.
A few micro brews.
Yeah.
You know, just places to hang out and gather.
But very, very family friendly
very
with
family.
A history
yes.
there too.
But
that's
I think
right.
this is interesting too, listeners, to just take note of. We're not talking downtown Columbus right now. And BJ has seen this opportunity in Delaware, which
that's
means
right.
if you're in the same, a similar area, this
that's
could apply
right.
to you as well. So
yeah, absolutely. And we can talk a little bit more about that and what that looks like in reality with like Airbnb.
Right.
But we were just getting ready to, we bought this house in December 2018, did a couple months of just restoring the wood floors, making it beautiful. And Sarah just knocked it out of the park from a design perspective. And, you know, I just really trust her on those decisions mm-hmm. and just follow and do. I love it. It makes me feel great because I feel like we have a strategy together.
Yeah.
And so it's just fun to do with your spouse, you know. But we were getting ready to, you know, start the meticulous, make it feel like home now.
Yep.
So decorations and there's, you know, making a place feel like you've lived there for 10 years in 1 month.
Right.
Basically.
Yep.
Let's get this thing on the market and start renting. And so, but some friends came to mind who had a fire and there was, the fire wasn't too bad, but the smoke damage ruined everything. And it may as well burnt the house down on the inside. I mean, it just, they had to like really redo basically everything inside. And so they were immediately out of their home for some undisclosed amount of time because they don't really know when it's going to get done, you know, fixed and remedied. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just was having a conversation with Sarah about it and just said, you know, before we put it on Airbnb, you know, we were talking to one another and why don't we just see if we can work with their insurance company or something and get them into this home. And I would say it was within a week and we had, you know, our first rent check overnighted to us for, you know, from the insurance company. And it was a really great opportunity for so many reasons. And it was a win-win-win, which is pretty rare. So what happened was we got this family who was living 30 minutes from their home getting remedied, and they were away from the place that they loved. They were living in a hotel room without kitchen and things we take for granted for a month by that time. And, you know, no laundry, you know, just
yeah.
it becomes challenging.
Yeah. So it's just the emotional. They had just weathered this
that's right.
storm of that something that wasn't anticipated and out of their house.
And really, like, they were on the forefront of that still with just the remedy process, because that can be really painful for the families going through that.
Yeah.
Because they've lost a lot. And then, like, basically, they're working with general contractors and
yeah.
that process isn't always the best. So they stayed in what we affectionately call the Lady Liberty House. You can look up that property on Instagram at Lil Lady.
L-I-L.
Lil Lady. I have the exact Instagram. I have to look it up because
okay.
I can never remember
it. We'll link to it.
But
yeah.
We have pictures there and there's some cool stuff happening there. The process, you know, took about 5 months for them, and we were able to get a year's worth of short-term stays revenue in 5 months.
Okay. You didn't have to ask your friends to spend that money because the insurance is covering
that's
it.
Right. And we, again, just very similar parallel to your story, we lowered the cost of the claim for the temporary housing portion. The insurance companies will cover deposit, will cover, you know, cleaning fees if you want to be in there once a week to do the cleaning. They cover that as well. Any maintenance for the house basically is covered. And so that got me thinking, you know, and of course, like what we did from a revenue perspective, you know, got these lovely people back into a home.
Yeah.
You know, where they can cook and they can do the normal things of life. And I just can't imagine, you know, when families have kids in this situation where it's disruptive for schooling, like you were talking about, Annette, you know, that is like mind-blowing how somebody's going to live like that in for months with a big family. I don't even know how, but that's how InTown Stays, really the .com side and the spirit behind what I want to do with some friends of mine that are in the product space. I've been in the product space for about 20 years, building apps and things like that. And I just saw a really good business opportunity.
Yeah. So. And it's called, so listeners, we haven't said it yet, unless you've seen the title. It's his business is called InTown Stays. And can you believe it? He got that web address.
Yeah. We were
InTown Stays and IN, which is kind of like brilliant because it's such a great play on words, even for like a hotel.
I have some initial questions when you were helping this family out.
Sure.
Did you, so you and your wife were already, you know, full steam ahead, we're going to put this short-term rental on Airbnb. Did you already know at the market value, like, hey, our nightly rate, we're anticipating this during the week, this on the weekends. What was the, you know, obviously I know you wanted to help this family, but I'm sure you had a mortgage, you had utilities, you had other things that needed to be satisfied and you hadn't been on Airbnb yet. So how did you come up with that pricing or how did you negotiate that with the insurance company, really not knowing kind of what your history would be if you were to list it on Airbnb? How did you say this is obviously it was the right decision, you know, from your heart, but financially, how did you do that math?
So Sarah did some research just on what to price it at for, and she was really working hard on that. And we were having conversations and just kind of went back and forth on thoughts on how do you price something. And so what I looked at, too, is typical rent in our area, in that area of town. And, you know, it's about $1 per square foot.
And you're saying are you saying long-term rent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. As a base.
Yep.
You know,
unfurnished
and then,
year lease.
Yeah.
Dollar square foot.
Okay. A lot of long-term rentals are like, normal rentals are like minimum 2 years sometimes.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's, in short-term rentals, you can't even get one in Delaware, like even in apartments for less than 6 months.
Wow.
So there's a really great opportunity for people to get involved in this. But, I started there as my base because I needed something to go by because we're kind of trying something new, let alone like just even Airbnb in the city of Delaware isn't, you know, it's not like
Raging.
Delaware is like a, you know, destination.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's cute, but it's, we're not a vacation hotspot in Delaware, Ohio.
Sure.
But it is a great city. And there's simply, it's kind of knowing your surroundings and knowing that what is the need. There's not a hotel in the city. So to me right there, there was a huge opportunity for us to kind of fill that gap. And I would just argue that the types of needs that hotels fulfill are different than, you know, what an Airbnb or short-term rental would fill.
Yeah.
So fulfill, you know, where you have family and it's maybe longer than a few nights or, so the base was, you know, $1 per square foot. And then if you add short-term lease to that or short-term stay, you know, you could 1.5 to 2.5.
Right.
X on that number. If you add in, and then I'm guessing because location and quality all factor in.
Absolutely.
And so like I'm, you know, I then said, okay, well, furnished or unfurnished, you know, if it's furnished, I would add another multiplier on the, on top of that, which would probably range anywhere from like 2 to 4. Sure. I really don't know. And that's playing the market and the supply and demand problem. Yeah. And really just trying to identify market fit. And sometimes you start safe. And I, you know, so Sarah's the manager of the Little Lady House. And she does a really good job of like testing the market with cost pricing. And price. Mm-hmm. And she has eased into where we're at right now with it. And it's performing great. It performed great for the short-term claim and it performed great right now. It's been doing really well on Airbnb.
Okay. So. I didn't know about this and I thought this was really interesting. Talk to us about that relationship between insurance companies and hotels and how you'd like to disrupt that a little bit.
Yeah. So with InTown Stays, one thing about our company, and this is just something that we're going for, is really a grassroots approach. So first of all, we really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast. We think you two are superstars. And my kids and wife will be listening to this. So I love you guys. Like, they just love this. They were super excited. But, you know, like, one of the things to think about is just think about tornadoes in Dayton. Okay, so I have a friend who's an insurance adjuster for a pretty well-known insurance company. And he was one of like 10 from their company in Dayton during the time. Okay, so he did, I don't know, up to 10 claims per day or something for a week. Wow. And maybe more. And I think they had about 100 to 300 claims that week just for that company in Dayton. And he said probably about 80% of those people also had home loss. So
complete home loss.
Yeah. Oh. Where they're disrupted enough to where they're going to be out. The typical claim in the US is about 4 to 6 months.
Wow.
So when that hits, and I don't know if you two can think of any player in the market that is like Airbnb, but for short-term leasing.
Right.
And I really can't. And so, you know, there are people living in hotels right now because there's that problem. And that's a really easy way to get them shelter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not a great strategic solution. And so, you know, I've just considered trying to transition people out of hotels and into short-term stays for cost, for quality, for getting them back in their hometown where their home is, getting remedy just for convenience, the school district problem, all the things that can come with being in a situation like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a better market fit for the people. It's a better solution for the people. Lowers the cost of insurance, has the potential. And 2018, as we started down this path of really doing market validity for InTown Stays, and we have some of these statistics on the website. In 2018, there were 108 catastrophes just in the U.S., okay? Just in the U.S., 108 catastrophes. And so, like, the insured loss for those catastrophes, just the catastrophes, let alone everything else below that level, because they range it in levels. Catastrophes like the worst.
The epic, most epic.
Yeah. Several people and homes typically involved. And the insured loss was over $50 billion. Okay, so just think about that.
Yeah.
The uninsured loss was about $29 billion. So a total of like $82 billion or something, you know, just insane, let alone around the world. And so like there's just a huge opportunity. Airbnb's a great company and they have really helped short-term hosts with just aptitude of what it means to be a host and like, you know, and really changing the perspective of what it means. Like in the U.S., we drive into our, you know, garages and we shut the door and we don't, you know, just that whole, like, they're helping to break that.
Right, and, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And like, it becomes an experience and it's personal and it's your product as a host and you love it. And we want to bring that to all the other markets that Airbnb aren't playing in right now. And it's really hard on Airbnb. I don't know if you've ever in Columbus have tried to get an Airbnb and our area, at least, you know, for 6 months just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
You get some pretty interesting.
I bet you do.
Places. High dollar stays.
Well, here's my question too. And I told BG before we went live or before we started recording, I said, I'm going to ask you this question because I know you listeners out there are thinking this. Because here's what I'll tell you. If you have been a host for a little bit of time now, you've inevitably been reached out by someone. And if for us in Columbus, it's, hey, I'm trying to find a place for 3 to 4 months. I'm in town for a semester in school or a special project or what have you. You know, my budget is, let's say, $1,200. And in our market, $1,200 is like a 1 year lease, unfurnished mid-level space.
No utilities, Wi-Fi.
No utilities, no what, nothing. A roof over your head and running water, mm-hmm. but you're probably going to pay for. So it was hard for me when I get presented with these opportunities to find a win-win because they want the furnished convenience, but mm-hmm. for a short-term stay, they're on the right platform. But for me, it's like, I might as well just stay open. You know, this is my main source of income. Mm-hmm. So there's that. So then I'm staying short term. So I'm staying, you can come stay with me for one night or you can come stay with me up for up to like 30 days, I feel like is what we've landed on personally. Yeah. So if I'm set up that way, but I want to connect with you, what you're doing, how do I do that? Because I'm also booked out 3 to 6 months, depending on my property. I've got bookings. Maybe it's a random one in, you know, January right now. But you present me with Sarah. There's someone who needs a place to stay. And so how do you tell our listeners to kind of balance that?
Yeah. I mean, I look at being a host as I'm the property manager. Right. I'm the person that really runs the schedule and the planning. And I need to think tactically and then strategically about my property. And so, you know, when we consider calendar, it's really market dependent, right? Mm-hmm. So like Delaware, landlocked, the types of calendar events that we're seeing right now are around, well, I have a week staying, a family staying for a week because the fair. Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome. Outside of that, it's these little nibble stays, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's just Delaware. We love it.
Yeah.
We love hosting and we love, you know, getting the property ready for another family and we're all that. But we also have to understand our market. So honestly, like we're still learning about the Liberty House in Delaware because this is our first couple months in Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So we just came out of that claim and we started in December. So we're still new, we're doing well, but you know, what we're seeing so far is bookings are really happening like about a month in advance.
Okay.
So when we think about like claims and opportunities, business relocation, employee relocation, business short-term stays or employee relocation, construction process or delays where the construction company is on the hook to get a family into a temporary housing situation. There's all these opportunities. Those tend to be opportunities where you could have a family living in a hotel for a little bit of time, but you can transition them over for a number of months. And it's like I said, if it's a claim, the typical claim is about 4 to 6 months. So you can have a solid capacity with your nightly rate, you know, capacity utilization being the number of nights per month.
Right.
100% for those months stayed. And we try to stay out of the Airbnb realm of like, we will cut a lease on your behalf and allow it's 30 days minimum and beyond so that we can cut a lease, kind of avoid the hotel taxing. And
so, yeah, let's talk about that though. So let's say right now I kind of think you had a sweet spot where you weren't listed yet. So you're like, awesome. I can get a 5 month booking with all this money up front. But if it's a normal host, like some of our listeners right now that are already hosting, hopefully they're not opening their calendar too far up after over 3 months. I mean, people are in different areas, so they know better than I, but like that, I know that what Sarah and I are saying is a lot of times we get these like longer term stays that we would love to host them, but we're like, no, our calendar's already booked. So right now, are you only booking maybe 1 month at a time? And then before you came on the show, Sarah and I talked about it almost like we want to do a beta test moving forward where we have a property that's just short term, but then we have another one where it's like a minimum of 2 to 3 to 4 week stays to see if we could
you know, and only opening up your calendar a month in advance.
Because I think that's going to be, I mean, to challenge and help the business. Right. Because just for our listeners know, BJ and his, the company, they're just now launching. So at the end, we'll get everybody kind of some calls to actions to help him out. But that's where I see there being kind of the issue. But I think a great thing is like the people that are just getting ready to get started. So if they're coming out of the gates, it's like, hey, maybe reach out to InTown Stays before you even list your short term, because there might be somebody where, boom, like BJ's situation, he made a whole year's worth of what he anticipated on making on Airbnb before he even listed. So I think that's going to be the challenge of matching up new, you know, hosts and the person at that specific time. But I guess it's probably area dependent.
I'd be willing. Now, I have more than one property. And if you're out there listening and you're a co-host, right, I might even take a few, even like my larger homes, because I feel like larger homes are really hard to book far in advance unless we're coming in the summer months or what have you, and like bachelorette parties or baby showers are happening. But I'd be willing to only open up my calendar 4 weeks ahead of time. They do say that 50% of Airbnb bookings happen within 30 days or less. Mm-hmm. So are you missing those opportunities when that's the average booking timeframe? And so now if InTown Stays contacts me, I've got a few properties in my portfolio where I can take advantage of this sort of income too. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
That's right.
Too?
And this is, again, like, you know, the market, there's going to be times of the year where your capacity utilization is like really healthy and you'll have a lull.
Oh yeah,
but, sure. But what's not time sensitive or geographically sensitive, like it's not, it doesn't have to be a vacation hotspot, are situations that, you know, are just life, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
We like to say like InTown Stays is your home when life happens.
Yeah.
And that's like our mantra for the, especially like the claim side of things.
Sure. So in theory also, I know BJ is doing collection of, you know, obviously email addresses to get people into his, into InTown Stays. So could this be something for a property manager that manages not just short-term, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have long-term and short-term now. Is this something where they could have an opportunity, let's say they're not Airbnb hosts or short-term rental hosts, but they have long-term stays. Is this something where they could get into your network?
Yes.
And if they have something sitting there vacant that they could work with you to book those out?
So you hit the nail on the head. So overall, the landlord, the property hosts.
Mm-hmm. Although I know there's so many landlords.
Just please promise me you're going to cut that out.
No, it's good.
It shows the diversification of what's going on the market, the disruption.
Right. You know, this is where it's a little bit of a change, right? So the traditional apartment owner, right? It may not seem like the ideal luxury stay Airbnb host. Maybe it is, depending on location and, you know, season and whatever. But, you know, for a family that we're transitioning out of a hotel, it's a godsend.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, these are people that have traditionally not liked the thought of anything under 6 months. But if we build relationships with them.
Yes.
And give them pipeline for homes that are dedicated or units that are dedicated to solving this problem.
Yeah.
We can feed that pipeline, take care of all the administrative back office stuff for them for the most part. And then
that's
and so
really
like
important.
That it is. Absolutely, especially when you're running a apartment and complex and you have multiple units and we can work with property managers, and that's totally fine as well. But they can eventually, we're bringing on more and more product and software to basically take care of all the brokering, where it's almost just software as a service.
Yeah.
So, and that includes dynamically cutting the lease with unique provisions for each property that makes sense. So you may have a beachfront, you know, that there's different rules about the house than like landlocked Delaware.
Right. Yeah.
So, but if I hope that helps, because like it is a calendar overall is going to be a challenge for someone who has a single family home that they have on Airbnb and they're in a location where they're getting bookings months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But what, like Sarah said, that's what we're seeing in Delaware. We're seeing like it just happens. All of a sudden we have 15 stays right. in a month, you right. know, and that's good for Airbnb. But there's just great opportunity in all the other markets to play in.
So
it's a balance.
Yeah. We talk about this all the time, but it happens whenever we have guests on. But this is the thing I want everybody at home and our listeners to just think about is this is where you really think outside of the box and what just short-term rentals has expanded how you can earn money. So what I'm thinking now when we're talking about this, I know so many people that have multiple homes. And guess what? They just short-term rental Airbnb is not their jam. It is never going to be their jam. They would rather have their two properties and one get dusty when they're not there than the thought of strangers coming and going and having a co-host and having to deal with an app and this and that. So, but I do know, I bet you if I took this idea to them about, hey, wouldn't you really like to help a displaced family who's right down, maybe right down your street? And look, they may never need a, you know, in-town stays may never need a place, or they might need you really often. So it'd be interesting if you're kind of thinking about short-term rental, but you don't really know, to just get involved with something like this and have like, okay, great. I'm not there 5 months out of the year and I'm going to get to help a devastated family out. Those are some situations that just came to mind of like, wow, this is really an opportunity yeah. to build community and yes. help each other out. And I'm sure like there's other things that go along. If you can get that money and help a family, I'm just like, wow, that's for everybody right. that's scared or they're just like, and honestly, a lot of people that have multiple properties, they don't need the money. So they're like, I don't want to even deal with it, you know? So that's where I think you might have a huge market for people that have multiple homes. You know, like you were saying, Dayton, like when the tornadoes hit, there might be people that live in South Carolina, Florida, snowbirds that are like, hey, we'll just stay down here and we'll let somebody right. in need
yeah,
stay in our home.
And right now, in the early stages, we're hunting and gathering and manually like making connections and brokering opportunity. But we do plan to have, and this is very much like how insurance companies work in general. So they think of an insurance company like a general contractor kind of. Yeah. They broker the work that mm-hmm. needs to be done, but it's always like a third party doing majority of the work.
Sure.
So they basically get your money
yeah,
and,
right.
and they just make sure that you're going to get taken care of.
Yeah.
But they're pretty far removed from the real work,
yeah.
I guess. No offense to any insurance companies out there, but yeah. You know, that's really common. And because they're best in the world at making sure that you're going to get the work that you need because they can't solve all the problems. So they really work with housing brokers. So in pharmacy, there's on the medical side, because I have lots of experience in insurance and medical and pharmacy, and there's just layers of brokering and how all that stuff works, and vendors and benefit manager groups and in between
yeah.
who actually serve the people. So what we're trying to do is provide those opportunities directly
yep.
to hosts so that the worst case scenario is you're turning down opportunity.
That's what I was going to say. So
and
you would reach
like,
out
that's,
to us.
That's,
yeah.
That
so if we're in your
that's
network.
If, yeah. yes.
if we go to in-town stays, we enter in our information, we let you know what our short-term rental like property looks like, then basically all of it's off of us. You would just
that's
reach
right.
out to us and say, hey, we have an opportunity, a family's displaced, they need
yeah.
a stay from X date to X date. Would you kind of look at our listing mm-hmm. and do some of the math beforehand, before even reaching out to us to make sure there is a market fit there? Or what does that
yes.
back and forth look like? Is it going to be emails? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be an app? What's that correspondence going to look like?
Right now, when people sign up, we'll be able to collect their whatever they provide to us. So emails minimum.
Okay.
So we can definitely send out emails and you'll see opportunities. Eventually they'll be able to use the website to see like an opportunities dashboard.
Okay.
It'll be somewhat stripped of like personal details about the claim.
Sure, sure.
Just enough information to know, oh, they're in my city and I can help them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they can click on that and it notifies us and if they're logged in and all that stuff, which is coming. It's not there yet, but that's where we want to be. We
okay.
want to allow, if you think about, hey, I know my property is going to be available in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready for my next opportunity. So I go to the opportunities dashboard, start at the top of the bucket, and just go down from there and can say I'm willing to pick up this claim.
Because you're, so I have so many questions right now.
Yes.
Okay. So one of them being, which we were just inspired to say, is okay, you might even have, maybe you didn't have, and the insurance company didn't have a place to put the displaced family. So they're in a hotel. Mm-hmm. I come along, I have availability. Cool. I'll take this person who's in a hotel right now and I'll get them ready to transition into your rental.
That's right.
Right. Which is so cool because yes. Now it doesn't have to be that perfect timing of,
right.
Unfortunately, yes. Disaster strikes. Your home right. is available, win-win.
When we have network like hotels do, it will be.
Right.
Because basically like what our hope nice. Is, our vision and strategy is to be, you know, the Airbnb of leasing for yeah. the most part, where claims adjuster who's working directly with the consumer can, instead of going online or sending an email to a broker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're completely out of the picture and they can just find a place right then and there in less than 5 minutes. And we make, you know, relocating families to a home as easy as vacationing.
Right.
So, and that's our goal.
Okay.
So leasing as easy as vacationing. So
can the host, I'm gonna call them host because that's feel like that's our culture here on Thanks for Visiting. Yeah. Can the host still be in complete control of pricing, just like we are in Airbnb?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Like I said, the hosts are the property managers. That's their product.
Mm-hmm.
And their product has a value that they deem,
right.
you know, appropriate. So for me, there's some hosts that may not have been in the market for very long. And I give them kind of, here's my base and this is where I start. And
right.
then if you're short-term stay, okay, short-term lease, we go through the multiplication of that.
Yep.
And are you furnished or unfurnished? Because in our situation, there may be people where a tree fell in their house and they just need to get their couch out and stuff out of the house.
Okay. They would move
and
their home into your
an
home.
An unfurnished house in this situation
would be best.
Is, yeah, oh. maybe best because otherwise they're
paying
they're,
for a rental somewhere.
They're paying for a storage unit
yes,
or something.
Okay. Thank you.
So, you know, and that's very common. And guess what? Insurance companies pay for that too.
Right.
They
might get movers. So, yeah. Good.
So there's lots of services eventually that we foresee, and including, you know, staging and to help transition traditional property owners into all these new market opportunities, because there's a solution that makes it easy for them. And that was the biggest showstopper for
yeah.
these owners, is it's cumbersome to have to get a family in and out. You know, so that's kind of how we're looking at the market.
And when you're an Airbnb, you know, Airbnb prompts you and says like, okay, what kind of discount do you want to get for a week long stay? What kind of discount do you want to give for a month long stay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I don't have to give discounts and still win-win? If I'm, let's say on average, I charge, I'm making this up, $100 on a weeknight and $150 on a weekend. You know my theory, don't set it and forget it. But let's just say that's what I do on average. Can I take whatever that is for that month and just say that when I don't have to pay cleaning fees, that's what I want to charge
yeah.
the guest. Do you think that's kind of where?
Yeah. yeah. And so think of each property has a base lease that we would cut.
And so that's the deal. It would be a lease though. So this,
yes.
this booking would not technically take place on a short-term rental platform though, correct? Or could it? So like for me, what if I wanted in-town stays, or the company to actually book me through Airbnb, that couldn't happen.
No.
But could the two calendars talk to each other?
It'll be through in-town stays for sure, as far
okay.
as the booking
okay.
and the lease and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be
okay.
an agreement.
Gotcha.
We'll be brokering that whole deal. We have looked into integration with Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way it looks now, they have different levels of accounting with their software APIs mm-hmm. or interfaces. And what I've been told thus far from our tech guy
yeah.
is that, you know, it's easy to put information in, but it's hard to get out.
Mm,
so like sense. One thing a host could do is put their information in, and then we could always update to Airbnb if they have changes so they don't have to duplicate.
Yeah.
But right now what we're doing until we have that is we're doing all the footwork. We're like looking at what you have, looking at your property and making those adjustments. So in our system.
And you're not looking at staying in Delaware or Columbus. If you're listening from California, can someone
yes.
get in touch with you?
Yeah.
And help you?
Great question. So we're actually approaching the market by, we ideally would like to talk to an insurance company, like a Progressive or Nationwide. We're really hoping to build a relationship there with those companies, because we think that they have, you know, they really know where the pain is from a claims perspective. And we want to target those areas. So what we'll, what we'd ideally like to do is get them to sign up for up to a level of so many rents per month. That helps fund our company. And then we basically blast out to those areas in high need, like where a disaster is struck, whether it be tornado or flood or, you know, wind damage and trees falling and all the stuff. And basically target those areas for landlords, property owners, short-term stay hosts, and basically do a very targeted ad marketing for them, and build network organically by helping to solve the great problem where the greatest need is currently, if that makes sense.
It totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps their bottom line. It helps kind of spur our business on, and it helps transition property owners where we really need it the most right now. So
can eventually, will you get your brand to a place where now people who are displaced by renovations or maybe they're somewhere for work that they can reach out to in town space? Because here's what I've learned this recently, because I've been having some challenges with properties here in Columbus. We're also, even downtown Columbus, we're not a vacation spot. We're more of like a, you're here for family or friends or business. So I've got some larger properties in my portfolio, and I want to meet January and February head on, where I know we're going to slow down from the other events that go on that keep my rentals busy. So I'm thinking of ways that I can, I know there are people staying in town in hotels for a month, 2 months, and I don't know where to go. So I just discovered a website that helps traveling nurses. But I even noticed those websites are so, like, maybe a couple hundred dollars over a long-term vacant lease, that it's not worth it for me to balance Airbnb with these websites. And they don't do any work for you.
Right.
They list your property and they bring you nurses, but then it's all on you. And it's like, well, I know you think that sounds great. For me, that sounds like a lot of work. So yeah, like that would be, so could you connect us with corporate housing and people who have the funds to really pay market value for beautifully furnished spaces, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. So think about, you know, it, just envision this with me if you can, and I'll do my best to explain or describe. Think about a dashboard where you just have kind of an enumeration of opportunities, and you have the ability to filter those down by geography, by type. If you prefer, through experience, maybe short-term business stays or employee relocation opportunities, those are great opportunities, because you're working with a corporate sponsor for that person or that family. And so it's very solid revenue from typically trustworthy sources. And, you know, and they also, you know, as far as the lease works, you know, can be on the hook if the person or family do something malicious to the house or damage the house. I know that's a concern. And I know Airbnb supports some level of insurance for some of those rare cases. But, you know, basically, like, our base lease agreement will have some things that will protect all parties, right? So, but for the most part, each property is kind of unique. So we want to be able to allow property owners to put unique types of clauses or things on those leases that are meaningful for that property, so that they can really tailor it, and that saves to that property profile.
So that's kind of really how we're in control of what experience
you're very
they want.
In control. So, like, for instance, you can go in and clean and get a cleaning fee every week, and that gives you that kind of like oversight over your product.
Which I love having the difference between having a long-term lease where I don't see my property for a year, plus my obsession with hospitality and just doing what we do.
Yeah.
But this is really cool. So you're like, you're turning the table what the Airbnb thing is, where the consumer or the guest is looking for the opportunity. But now we as short-term rental hosts are looking for the guest or the opportunity.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's caused by a disaster. But like you said, life happens. And so we've got to meet that head on. Also, I just thought, I don't know how many DMs we get with people who are like, my city just outlawed short-term rental stays.
Oh,
and so,
good one, Sarah.
Listen, listeners, if you were just, you know, shut down by your city, while I think it's temporary, because I don't think government can really stop change from happening in this regard, this might be a really cool opportunity to go beyond that 30 days and still be crazy profitable. Even if you have a guest for 5 to 6 months, you might make the same that you would have for the year long or long term.
Absolutely.
Lease.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, like, and that's absolutely right. And, you know, as far as the regulation and things like that, it is changing a lot. The mm-hmm. landscape's changing. And I know in Ohio, and I think you talked about this at the last Airbnb meetup, you know, there we should start planning for hotel tax as Airbnb hosts.
Yeah, right.
And that's unfortunate because I just think it's not hotel tax. But that's my personal opinion. And
yeah.
I don't write law and regulation. Right. And you know, I do think that sometimes on the regulatory side, and I don't want to go too far down regulatory
sure,
side because
yeah.
I don't want to depress your audience.
Yeah.
I do think that sometimes when regulation seems adverse to business, they're trying to get a handle on how to approach it. And so I would be really surprised if people can do Airbnb one day
where
maybe it's not right now.
Right. So. No, I just think this is a great, it's another way that we are putting opportunity in our hands. What do you think, you know, I'm looking forward to your crazy successful future. Do you think hotels are going to be just as upset with this concept as they kind of are with short-term rentals? Do you think they'll get, do you think they're going to try to meet this? What do you think that's, because if we're taking their guests who maybe are staying in their hotels and we're saying, now come stay in this home with a kitchen and two baths and a garage. And
yeah.
How do you think they'll respond?
Well, you know, like I don't know the heart of man, but I think if a business owner of a hotel would search deep and really ask who's my customer,
right?
I think it would be hard to say that this is not the right thing for a family or
sure.
people
Absolutely.
In a situation.
That's such a good answer, BJ.
Yeah.
God, that was good.
Yeah, I think like going back to what Sarah said, and even just your concept overall, I just love that everyone is starting to think and be more responsible for their future overall, you know? So this is something where, like Sarah, I didn't even think about, hey, if something were to, like regulations were coming to place, it doesn't mean you have to completely shut this down. And by the way, like until BJ is up and in town, stays is up and firing all over the US, like these are things like, you may know somebody that I'm sure everyone has like a sister or brother or in-law that's like an insurance broker. You can talk to them about this type
that's
of
right.
stuff. This is where be creative and put your own finances in your own hands and start talking to people. You don't have to wait for you know, the internet to catch up with what your demands are, because that's what happened to you originally. It was out of a need of a friend that came to you. So that's what I love the most about it. And you know, Sarah and I always talk about, you know, we had an episode on Side Hustle, but BJ has just taken it to a whole nother level of like, I'm just going to create an entire company based off this, similar to like a Properly. You know, he just saw that. So that's commendable. If anybody's out there listening and you have these ideas, you know, go for them for sure. It's super interesting.
Not that it matters, because I think it depends. I think there is enough room in this world for all sorts of businesses, even if we're serving the same need. But are there other businesses out there who are doing this? Or do you really feel like you're revolutionary here?
We were not sure. And it was very interesting as we did market research early on to just see, are we a good fit?
Yeah.
And the more people we talked to, it's like, wow, I can't think of anybody. And I would ask people who have been in the business for a while, do you know of anybody?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I can't think of anyone.
It's so exciting.
Like,
yeah.
And they're just like, I can't, then they would follow that up with, I can't believe there's no one in this
that's
space.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, wait, like, yeah.
But we did Tom Leiter, who's our COO mm-hmm. of the company. And he is just a wonderful guy. And he has done a ton of market research for the company. And, he did find a company up in Canada. And so we've actually, and that person's story is very much like ours.
That's so
great. And very much like yours, right? So,
yeah.
And he kind of acted on that and built a really cool company up in Canada. So we we've talked about possibly meet and greet one day and just have some drinks or something and talk about it and see what happens. Because
I mean, there really is no ceiling to this.
Right. And there's so much need.
Yeah.
There really is a lot of need. And there's so many, like if we build the platform, it's not only like the formal needs that are coming, it's all those shoulder tap needs of people who are like, you know what? I just sold my house, which is great, but my new condo we were going to retire in didn't appraise. And now I'm homeless. And like, as soon as I started thinking about this problem, somebody told me about that because I was talking to them about it. And it was an old friend I worked with. And it was just like, everybody's telling me these stories now. And it's, the need is really presenting itself because we have a potential solution. And now everybody's like, yeah, that happened to me, or this, you know, I have some friends that are in this situation. Multiple people in the company have friends in a situation right now.
Absolutely.
And it's really exciting.
Yeah.
They say, you know, to be able to take an actual need that's not being met yet, even though like there are hotels and hopefully these people are finding places, it's just not the ideal place. Is there anything, BJ, that we haven't touched on yet that you really want our listeners to know about your company?
You know, the software's coming. We ideally want to be a platform to allow people to build the connections themselves. So that means hosts looking for opportunities, or insurance providers or corporations looking for a solution through our platform. So it's really reverse lookup. If you think about it, it's bi-directional in so many different ways. But then also like consumers who we just had a call yesterday and I'm trying to set someone up with a property in Delaware, actually. And, you know, that was, there's no corporate sponsor, there's no insurance company. They're just in a situation where they need to come home with family for a little while. So, you know, and they need 3 months. So, you know, this just happens all the time. And we hope to have the platform to facilitate and make that really easy at your fingertips and search, click, go.
Get you on Shark Tank. You know what I mean? Like this is, I think this is that good.
They take too much equity.
No, you're not wrong.
For very little.
Maybe. Thanks for visiting. We'll be your Shark Tank. We'll connect you with that.
If you can help us with seed funding, that would be great.
So where can our listeners sign up or reach out if they have any questions or if they know of somebody that they can connect you with? Where can they find you?
So In Town Stays, and as of today, you can go to INTOWN Stays. So STAYS.com. So intownstays.com, or you can double N as well on the N.
INN.
Yeah, INN. And that's kind of our namesake. So intownstays.com. And please, if you're interested, if you're an insurance provider, if you're a property owner, if you just want more information, fill out the form on the web, on the homepage, and we'll be in contact. So you know, just last week we put 2 listings up and somebody found, you know, our site through a reference and said, I'd love to come stay in those homes, either one of those homes. So, you know, and, you know, this, it's a great opportunity and we are going to be listing people's homes if you want your home listed. And so, yeah, that the website is the source right now. And we plan to enable login and profile management, and then eventually adding properties and managing the properties that are already in the system. And we'll be connecting the dots and making it as painless as possible as we grow. But right now, we wanted to start by trying to solve the problem with what we have.
Yes, and that's all you can do.
It's unsustainable doing it this way as we grow, but we will be using software to scale and where it makes sense. And then eventually, we hope to just be fully operational on the website. So
great. I mean, this is being recorded right now. What is it? September 10th today, 2019. So I can't wait. If you're listening a year from now, this episode, you know, where you'll be. And I hope that, that it just continues to grow.
I think it was 2 months ago, the last Airbnb meetup, and I had the idea, crazy idea, and I shared it with you. So I appreciate you too. Giving me a chance to come on and talk about it.
No, this is our jam. So in all forms. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And we hope this helps you get connected with the people that you need.
Thank you so much.
All right, listeners, thanks for tuning in for another great episode. I'm Sarah.
I'm Annette.
And we are
Thanks for Visiting.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.